Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. Start of a new week. It's Monday, the 29th of October, and we're coming off of two PGA Tour events that we'll be talking about and let you know how things went over the weekend. One all the way across the world there in Shanghai at the HSBC Champions, and then, of course, in our own backyard here on the mainland soil, the Sanderson Farms in Jackson, Mississippi, and we have a new champion there too, and we'll talk about both of those and what happened to both tournaments, and pretty significant, and a lot of great golf over the weekend. We have Paul Stankowski, speaking of great golf, PGA Tour veteran and voice on PGA Tour Radio, be joining us here momentarily to talk about that and how his, I don't know, what else we can talk about. How about UTEP football? Let's see how UTEP football is doing. I have no idea, so we'll find out from Paul, because I'm sure he's keeping up with the Miners and their football team. In the meantime, as always, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios joining. How you doing, Frank?
Down in the West Texas town of El Paso. I know that song. Hey, man, I'm doing good.
Good song.
I'm doing good. Did not make it down to the Sanderson Farms this past weekend. The weather was really, really bad Thursday and Friday. And couldn't get down there. It's only about a six-hour drive from Nashville. But
In a thunderstorm.
Yeah, just didn't want to do that. So we'll make it next year and hang out down there. But it's been a good week. It's going to be pretty nice and play a little golf here in Nashville this week.
Good.
Look at TPC Summerlin is with new bunkering all around the course. It's going to be a fun week for golf again. Las Vegas is a great venue for the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. And looking forward to watching that tournament.
Love that.
Our buddy Jordan Spieth, of course, will be there competing, and everybody's sitting around with bated breath looking to see how that putting goes this week. So,
well, we'll see if he has a comeback year. You know, last year, obviously, a down year for him. Did well when it comes to Ryder Cup, but outside of that, and we kind of forget that he was in the hunt at the Open Championship, and, for most golfers, probably not a terrible year. But by his standards, he did win, and that's the bottom line. So, we'll see. We'll see how Jordan does this year as it all kind of gets started up again here before everybody takes a little bit of a Christmas break and then back again in Hawaii. But, one of the featured stories, I think, on the PGA Tour as we're getting started again 2019 will be what Jordan Spieth does. So we'll talk about that as well. We have Paul Stankowski joining us, as I said. He is working his way back. I'm very excited about Paul and his opportunity here when he gets of age in the Champions Tour, but he's already working there. He's been working out, losing weight, and getting in shape. So many good things to talk to Paul Stankowski about, and, of course, his broadcast history and his experience that he's doing there. So joining us somewhere in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. Paul, how you doing today?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. I'm currently on I-35W South, headed toward the great city of Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, nice. Fort Worth.
There you go.
All right.
Fort Worth.
Are you going over to play some golf or work out or what?
No, I'm going to spend a little time with Icon Golf, the other little thing I'm doing, golf invitation-only membership. So we've got a little powwow, me and Jeff Goodsell, our president, and I'm the ambassador, so they call me the ambassador of fun. And
I had a feeling that would be the title.
And you didn't even go to Ole Miss. Come on.
I did not.
UTEP. Well,
very nice. Very
UTEP.
Nice. So 2 weeks or two tournaments this weekend, and so everybody knows in case you miss it, Xander Schauffele wins in a playoff over Tony Finau, who kind of had things seemingly in hand at the HSBC in Shanghai, but let it slip away, and Xander gets a well-earned victory there. And then back here at the Sanderson Farms, brand new champion Cameron Champ wins it, and first tournament that he's won on the PGA Tour. A year ago, he was an amateur. He's playing at Texas A&M, Paul, and what a big step, and I guess we can't be surprised again. Not many people know Cameron Champ or his name or anything else. A big hitter and hits the ball a long way. But once again, here we go with lesser-known young guys winning on the PGA Tour. I guess there's no end in sight of that continuing to happen, huh?
No, you're right. There is no end in sight. These players, when they come out of college nowadays, they're already primed and ready to go. Versus, you know, when I came out to the tour in 1994, a long time ago, you know, it was different. It was a different story. And so these guys now in college are playing in front of cameras. They're playing in front of other great players. The competition is really rich. At the collegiate level. But I think, you know, just as a whole, from the training regimen, these players are athletic, they're strong, they're hitting the ball a long way. That's the new movement, if you will, on the PGA Tour, is how far these college kids are hitting it. I mean, we look at DJ and Koepka, and these guys hit the ball a long way on the PGA Tour, but and we go, wow, there's two handful of guys on the tour, at the tour level, that crushed the golf ball. And then there's the average guy who hits about 290. Well, in college, it seems like everybody crushes it. I mean, that end isn't coming soon. I think we're going to continue to see guys, you know, not everybody's going to be like Cameron Champ, who swings it effortlessly and yet hits the ball forever in a day. You know, his soundbite earlier in the week was that he could just go ahead and hit it. Hit the ball, the rough isn't that punishing, and he'd rather be, you know, 100 yards further down the fairway hitting the driver than he would if he was hitting the 2-iron off the tee. And, you know, be in the rough with the driver, fairway with the 2-iron. So, I you know, if you can hit it that far and you can find earth, you're going to do okay.
Well, that does seem to be the way that today's golfers are playing. And I'm curious, when you said how soon they're coming out and fearless almost and winning tournaments and certainly competing very early on versus when you came out of college. Was it a different attitude too back then as far as the players around you? Like when you came out, the veterans at that time were Bernhard Langer, the guys who are now maybe, you know, 10 years older than you, guys who are on the tour, on the Champions Tour now, Stadler, whoever it might be. Was there a difference? Did you have to go through any kind of a
like fraternity hazing or something?
A different attitude of those guys? Yeah, somewhere where they didn't really expect you to win, and you kind of almost had to earn your place on the tour for a year or two before they even gave you the respect. Was it a different attitude among the veterans back then, you think?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the golf was completely different. I mean, look at Curtis Strange's interview with Tiger Woods when Tiger came out in 1996, and Curtis sat him down after the first round of Milwaukee, and you know, the famous words of second sucks, and Curtis's famous words of you'll learn, and then who learned, you know? So Curtis, the mentality was, you know, second place is pretty good. There's a lot of money there. And Tiger's mentality was, I'm not here for the money. I'm here to win tournaments. And I really think that even though that was the elite mindset back in the day, because in Curtis's day, early on, they weren't playing for a ton of money. Money got really good in 97, 98, you know, with Tiger Woods and you know, what Beeman and Fincham did with that to grow the purses. But, you know, the mentality was, all right, you can make a good living and it's nice to be in contention. But then Tiger changed the focus from that to, I want to win tournaments. And then I think what's happened, guys, is, I mean, we're older, but this whole social media thing has blown up, what, in the last 10 years? I'm trying to think of when it came out. Almost 10 years ago, right, with Twitter.
Sure. Yeah,
and I think that these young players who got involved with Twitter at, you know, 15, 16 years old, they're now 25, 26 years old, they grew up having a connection to these superstar athletes, right? Superstar golfers that now they almost feel like they know them. They know everything about them, right? They peer into their lives. There's less of a mystery anymore to what it's going to be like.
Agreed.
On the PGA Tour than it was when I was a kid. It was a mystery. All I saw was Saturday and Sunday for 2 hours, the leaders. And I'm like, I want to do that. But I didn't know these guys. When I got to the Hawaiian Open and I sat on the putting green at Wailea and I looked and there was Bernhard Langer and there was Larry Mize and there was Tom Watson and Scott Simpson. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like these guys are, right here. I could touch them. I was in awe of what was going on. These kids, they're not in awe. They come out early. Now, that's why I think we're seeing more and more and more of these young guys. They're uber talented. They're long. You know, we all know you don't have to be long to compete on the PGA Tour, but it sure is nice if you are.
Do you think also, Paul, that the younger players today, the Jordan Spieths, the Ricky Fowlers of the world, they're very much connected to their college programs, and they go back and they're mentoring and talking to the kids on their college team. Do you think there's more of an interaction today in that aspect of it than there used to be?
I think there's always been some sort. Like, we had Lee Trevino. He didn't go to UTEP, but Lee Trevino was a staple in El Paso as well as
right.
Dallas, and he became good friends with the golf program there with Cricket Mush, the old coach, with the Boosters, the Century Club in El Paso, and he would come back for our fundraisers, and which was awesome as a college kid to be in the presence of a legend like Lee Trevino,
sure.
Giving his little pep talk and hitting some shots, and I think that was great. I do agree with you. I think it is becoming more and more commonplace where you might even see these guys continually hanging out. I know Jordan lives in Dallas, so he's not going back to UT very often. But the thing is, they don't even have to anymore because of social media.
True. And sure. They're almost like they're there anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does. You're right. It does take a little bit of the wow factor away. I really hadn't thought of it that way. But yeah, it does, because they do seem to interact more and they know more about them. And there is no mystery or mystique about, you know, walking up to a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer in my day. Or yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, even as you said, Paul. I mean, a lot of times back, even when you were playing, and even though we joke, it wasn't that long ago. No. Your first encounter with a lot of these guys was actually being at a tournament, and you'd see them and be like, "Oh." Whereas now, because of all the media exposure, not just Twitter and Instagram and everything else, but you can go to PGA Tour Live, you can kind of almost feel like you know these guys because you see them interviewed all the time. You see a lot more golf, a lot more exposure on TV and everywhere else that you probably don't have that awe feeling about it when something happens, maybe a Patrick Reed kind of attitude, which is early on before maybe he deserved it. I'm one of the best five in the world. And you're kind of, who would have said that 20 years ago? Right. I mean, it would have been like somehow they would have found themselves at the bottom of a lake somewhere going, that's not the way you play this game, son. But in today's world, that's the way they come out going, yeah, I'm very confident in my skills and nobody here really intimidates me. Yeah. We love seeing how good these players are, but they don't really scare me. I mean, when you went to Hawaii, you said, did you feel like your first tournament, what was your attitude? Let me try to make the cut. Let me not embarrass myself. I mean, were they humble milestones you were trying to reach?
Heck, I was thinking about just let me get this ball to sit on the tee box, on the tee, on number one tee. I was so out of my element.
Stay on the tee.
Guys.
Yeah.
I was a mini tour player. I grew up on a 9-hole Navy golf course in Fort Hueneme, California. I did not have, I wanted to do it. Right. And then I was there and I'm like, oh gosh, I just want to survive. I three putted the first hole. I had about a 30 footer from below the hole to a back left hole location on number 10 at Wailea. And I blew it by about 8 feet up the hill. And I'm like, oh, like the mini tours in Southern California, Poana grass greens. You know, if you got lucky,
slow.
It might be 10 on the stint meter. And
yeah.
So here I am on Bermuda, pure Bermuda, grainy Bermuda, but fast. And I was out of my element. And I ended up missing the cut by a shot, my first two events of my career, and then quickly missed the cut by two shots the next week. So my first three events, I'm you know, MC Hammer out of there. And but then my fourth event, I get in as an alternate. I had zero time to prepare. It was the Bob Hope Classic, which started on Wednesday because it was a five-day event. I found out I was in the field on Tuesday morning. I flew out Tuesday night and showed up Wednesday, met my caddy on the way to the driving range, and Mark LaBaugh, who was Steve Elkington's caddy, who withdrew from the tournament. I think I might have got his spot. Anyway, long story short, I'm clueless, and I go out there, and I finish sixth. Aaron Jedlicki and Guy Burrows on Sunday had a great round, eagle the last hole, top 10. And at that point, that's when I realized, you know what? Okay, this is just like golf on the mini tours. the players are better, but there's 18 holes a day. The cup is the same size. There's fairways. There's greens. There's some people. But there's a lot more people. But I realized then, I'm like, okay, I can play. So it took me a month to figure out that I can do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, now with all the statistics known to man at the disposal of players, college players, they can look at their stats on a week-to-week basis and look at the PGA Tour stats, and they can go, you know what? I can compete because it's golf. That's the thing about golf on the PGA Tour is the same game as college. It's the same objectives, right? The difference is there are, for every two players on your team that might be able to make it in professional golf. So you go to a college tournament with 20 teams and there's 100 players. You may go, okay, of these 100 players, there may be 10 guys that are going to have some success at the professional level. Well, obviously at a PGA Tour event, everybody is going to have success. So there's more of them, but it's the same objective. So they can look at their stats and go, okay, I hit 70% of my fairways and I hit this many greens a day and hit it 370 yards. Okay. Well, I compete with these guys. So they look at stats. I had no stats. I had no idea. The first time I met Fred Couples, my hero, well, it was when I met him on the first tee in 1996 at the Bell South Classic on Sunday when I'm paired with him, second to last group. I'm like, here's my hero. All right. Nice to meet you, Fred. And I'm like, I'm in fantasy land, right? But I've never met him before that. And even though these guys, Cameron Champ, he may not have met Tiger Woods before, or you name the other players, but they feel like they know him.
Yeah. Interesting. And I really didn't put two and two together on all that, but it's different.
It's a different time, a different game,
and I like it. I like the right Bombers. I mean, who goes to a baseball game and wants to see somebody bunt? Speaking of baseball.
It's well, over. I loved it a few times last night.
somebody should have tried to bunt. Yeah,
I got to tell you real Dodgers. Quick, Paul, since you're a big Dodgers fan, I was on the phone with two of my good friends that live in L.A., and we had a conference call going while I was screaming for Price, who went to Vanderbilt here in Nashville, and Mookie, who's from Nashville. I was screaming for the Red Sox last night, and the other guys were screaming on the other end of the phone. It was like the old fraternity house days of baseball. My wife had to leave the room. So, by the way, the Red Sox won, for those of you who don't know, that might have been dead last night. But
Or to maybe just kind of put a little bit more on Paul there. Sorry, Paul. I mean, by the way, the Dodgers have lost more World Series than any other franchise. Just to put a little more salt.
They've been to more World Series, okay?
Well, no. The Yankees have been to a lot more. Well, that's true. Won a lot more, too. But the Dodgers have lost the most World Series. The problem is that the Dodgers are getting there, right?
That's kind
of the frustration.
That's not nice to our guest.
They're just not pulling it out. Well, I'm just saying. I mean, that's better than not being there. I grant you. There's a lot of other teams. There's 30 other teams who wish they could even get there. That's getting there and losing is tough, but at least they got there. So we'll see. We don't want to make Paul feel too bad about Paul. We're talking with Paul Stankowski with PGA Tour and PGA Tour Radio. How about your stuff that you've been doing lately? You're kind of expanding your exposure on PGA Tour and Golf Channel and everything else. Are you enjoying all this?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I got to start 2 weeks ago, the week of the CJ Cup that was played in Korea. I did morning drive 4 days that week, and man, I had a blast. It was fun to work with the Golf Channel team and such a professional company and folks, and you know, got to work with Damon Hack and Cara and Gary Williams and Todd Lewis and Charlie Reimer and Brian Bates. It was cool. Bailey and Lauren Thompson. So it was, and Matt Janella. What a good dude. I watched the show. I've met Damon. He interviewed me at the PGA show last year. I've met Gary. Obviously Charlie and Brian, but it was cool to finally, you know, meet and shake hands with the folks that I watch on TV. I mean, it's funny. I'm a golf fan, right? And I do enjoy watching golf. And those people on the show, they're celebrities to me, which is funny. So I'm like, okay, cool. It was fun to get my makeup put on right next to some of those professionals, and it was a good time. So I enjoyed it. This side of golf has been eye-opening, and you know, I never anticipated being on this side of the ropes, if you will, and that was one thing when I was a kid I did not dream about, was, you know, having a microphone strapped to my face. But but now that I've done it for, this is my fifth season, I do enjoy it. It's fun to be around the game. I love that element of golf, and it's a good time.
Hey, you did a great job on Morning Drive. We watched every day of it, and really enjoyed watching you. You were animated. You were fresh. You added a real fresh perspective to that show. And I love that show. Damon Hack, you mentioned, one of my favorite people in the world, nicest guy that walks the earth. I mean, he would do anything for anybody, anytime. And the whole crew there. I mean, it's a great time, and I hope you do more of that stuff. We'd love to see you. I'd rather see you holding up trophies in a year or so, but we'd also love to see you on Morning Drive. So.
To that point, Paul, how's that going for you? You've got your age now. You're 40. Are you 48?
Yeah, I'll be 49 in a little over a month, December 2nd.
Yeah.
And
so you're closing in on it. And how's that coming?
13 months before I get to go to Q school. And you know what? It's been a great year. I'm down just under 180. I've been working hard on my body, trying to get stronger and more flexible. I'm still dealing with the little aches and pains of being older, and I haven't been able to rise above that. I'm trying to avoid eating anti-inflammatories and killing my insides. So I'm just experimenting with a bunch of different anti-inflammatory properties, and none of them really work as good as the old Celebrex, fortunately. You know. But I'm
better life through chemistry.
You know, I started September 1 with the intent to play more golf, whether playing or hitting balls, and I have. But still not as much as I'd like. It's like when I work out, I have workouts on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm so sore until like Sunday afternoon that I don't want to hit balls. And then I feel great on Monday, and like today I feel fantastic. And then I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and work my butt off, and I'm going to be sore for until Sunday. So it's one of those things.
And it starts all over again.
It's a beating to try to get this body. 5 years, guys. I mean, I didn't do anything for 5 years, golf related or body related, other than eat and get fat.
Which is a lot more fun.
Yes, it is.
Well, 210 pounds, and now I'm just under 180. So I've lost, that's 30 something pounds, and I had to buy all new pants and all that jazz. So, but you know what? The process, it's a process. I preach that to my son and to people like younger pros that are trying to make it in this world of golf. And I teach process, and you can't get somewhere overnight. It's going to take time. I'm looking forward to continuing the process and the journey toward potentially playing out there. I'd love to do it, but you know, we'll see.
Don't you get a couple of exemptions? We were talking about this before when you were on with on web.com, or do you get into some champions events? And when you get to 48, 49, those couple of years, what's that exemption you have?
Well, the 48, 49 category is on the web.com, and it is a category for those players of this age. But it is, there's three spots every week on the web.com that come from that category. And it's all based on career money. I'm about six or seven deep in that category. And so for me to get in, the guys ahead of me have to choose not to play out there or use that spot. So, last year, I think I would have gotten in five or six of them. I played one. I'd like to play, you know, five or six again this year, but I never know. So for me, tournament golf would be great. I loved getting inside the ropes last year in Indiana. It was a hard golf course at Victoria National. Ooh. I really enjoyed being inside the ropes. My game wasn't – to say it wasn't ready is the understatement of 19 or 2018. I was just thankful to not shoot in the 80s either day, which was fun. I shot 78, 74 or 74, 78, but I'm looking forward to getting inside the ropes again this year. Hopefully I'll be a little more prepared when that time comes. I'm not looking forward to playing against guys that are 24 that hit it 360 yards because my ball speed is I'll be 100 yards, 60 to 100 yards behind some of those guys, and that's not fun.
What does it take, Paul? What club head speed or ball speed does it take to hit the ball, let's say, 300 yards?
I have no idea. My ball speed, I tested it. It's been 2 months, but 2 months ago, 152.5 was the fastest I could get a golf ball to exit stage left. And that's not very good. That produces, 285 yards. I mean, maybe 280. So I'm a short knock. That's what it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to the PGA Tour or the PGA Tour champions, that's for sure, because it will be a lot of fun.
It's certainly fun to watch. PGA Tour champions is a blast to be there, and it's almost like you're inside the ropes as a spectator the whole time because the guys are very approachable, much unlike they used to be when they were playing very seriously. And now today, the younger players who play for so much money and are so focused that, there's just no interaction, basically, during the tournament. But PGA Tour champions, it's a little more loose. But, boy, the level of play there, though, guys, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir, we all know, is incredible. It is just incredible.
Well, the good thing about it, too, Paul, is that you get the private jet and all that kind of stuff when you get to the PGA Tour champion.
Right, yeah.
So that part will be good.
Sure.
Just wait out on the tarmac. It'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
Freddie will be driving. Yeah, they'll all be on the plane. Hey, by the way, I was thinking too, we're talking with Paul Stankowski, going back a little bit to when you were referencing what these guys are going through, and we're talking about Cameron Champ winning the Sanderson Farms as a rookie in his first tournament he's won. Were you guys as close back then as they seem to be now? Because we certainly see these guys and Ricky and Jordan all partying with each other, hanging out on weekends when they're not playing golf together, waiting for each other when one of them might win a tournament to congratulate them and all. And it seems like that's a new fad that wasn't really there, certainly wasn't around with Tiger when Tiger was doing it. Were you guys, I'm not saying you didn't like each other, but you and Lee Jansen and your other buddies back then, was it similar or is it different with these guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I hung out with the guys I hung out with, and Lee and I had a lot of dinners together, and a lot of the players that don't have, maybe they have kids at home, we're in that position where it's nice to have someone to hang out with that understands what's happening versus all these guys are young and they're just hanging out amongst themselves but I still think that there's a lot of guys that are spending a lot of time working out and less time going out. Do you know what I mean? I think that this is big business, and if they're not working out, getting stronger, getting more flexible, more fit, getting treatment and therapy, they're going to fall behind because that's what everybody does now. They all work out. I'd say there's a few guys that still don't, but they're not going to last very long.
The guys that are on tour that are winning, we all know there does seem to be a formula, and a big part of it is just that they've got a team of – your team was what, Paul, back when you played? You had a caddy, you had you.
I had a caddy, my agent.
Your mom and dad
wife.
Would write you letters and send you banana bread.
My mom would be really encouraged. She's like, it's okay, son. Everybody misses that. Like,
not
7 in a row, Mom.
I'm coming home, Mom. But nowadays, these guys have a team of literally a dozen people or more, from agents and managers and physio guys and specialty coaches for short game, putting, long game. It goes on and on. It is a huge business, but you got to pay for that too. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're looking at going, okay, if I spend, we'll say $100,000 a year on my physio trainer and my sports psychologist and my short game instructor and my swing instructor. Okay. Say if you have that package and say it might cost you $200,000, but if those guys can help get you in the winner's circle once, twice, five times, whatever, play consistent golf and you make $2, $3, $4 million, it's worth it.
Yeah.
for the young guy coming out, or for a guy like myself who I can't afford to hire all those guys. I mean, there's that's the thing about it. You don't know. Like you can have all the right pieces in place. You can have the right sports doc. You can have the right teacher, short game, agent, business manager, the right wife, the right set of clubs, the right deals. Everything's great. You fly private for free, whatever. You still have to perform. And if you don't, it doesn't work.
That all goes away. They all find somebody
including
else.
The wife?
Including the wife.
Greatness happens, and then you look back on greatness. You can dream about it, but there's no guarantees it's going to come. For the words like Brooks Koepka said, I haven't even peaked yet. That may or may not be true. We don't know, because we don't know yet, right? But we'll look back and go, my gosh, when he said that, he hasn't peaked yet. You know, he won 9 majors after that, whatever the case. I said words very similar to that 1998 at La Costa, Tournament of Champions. Tiger got Player of the Year award on the Tuesday night. It's Wednesday or whatever. The next day, I was asked what my plan was for 1998, because 96 was a great year. 97 was even better. So what does 98 look like? And I said, you know what? Watching Tiger last night get Player of the Year inspired me. I think it's time I step it up and take my game to the next level. That's word for word what I said. If you look at a graph of my career from those words, it cratered, and I never got better. I felt it just kept going down until right now I'm talking to you guys, so for free. But
that's how bad it's gotten.
But that is reality. I thought, I mean, heck, I was moving. I was in the right direction. I was 20th in the world or whatever it was, and I was trending in the right direction. So I had the right trend, and I said the right words. It's time I step it up and take my game to the next level. Well, the next level was reverse, and that's the deal. So, like, for Brooks to say that, it's great, and it's great if he believes it, but we won't know until the end. That's the deal. We don't know. Is Cameron Champ going to be the guy that changes the face of golf, like Gary Player said? Probably not, but we don't. I mean, he could be a great player. He could win 10 majors. He could win 50 tournaments. Who knows?
Yeah,
but for every Cameron Champ, there's another one waiting, and he's a junior at Oklahoma. You know, Blaine Hale hits the ball a long way at Oklahoma. Who knows? I mean, he could be the guy. You just never know. We could speculate all we want, but the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we have to look back on greatness. Tiger, Jack, those guys were great. You know, Cameron Champ, Brooks Koepka, they're really good, but we'll have to, time tells, right? 10 more years. Let's figure it out.
We'll figure it out. All right, Paul. Well, we appreciate your time as always, and best of luck keeping the weight off and staying away from Whataburger. I give you a lot of props. It's a tough thing to drive on by, but you're doing it.
I go to Whataburger still on the way to Merido, and I just get it without the bun. I just eat two meat patties with some cheese and a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Hey,
but
there's no place like In-N-Out Burgers on the West Coast.
I like In-N-Out as well. It's just not right next to the club, so I'd have to.
Yeah, it's not as convenient.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Whataburger's right there. Yeah, you got to go to Midway. Got to go down to Midway, get your In-N-Out. So I know that. I go past there a few times, and kind of my car just makes an automatic turn. Can't help it.
Unbelievable.
All right, Stanky. Keep it going. We appreciate it, and have a great day today. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay?
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good one. See ya.
Take care. Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour Radio, and soon to be PGA Tour Champions.
Yeah. Golf Channel.
It'll be so interesting to see.
Everything.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's going to be so interesting to see.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying how well he can play when he gets to Champions, because you know he's excited about it, and it's one of those things that they gear up for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and you kind of all have high expectations. But just like he said, just getting on the regular tour, everybody does, and not everybody can turn around and win 6 times on the Champions Tour. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'll have to go back today and re-listen to part of the show once it's on PGAtour.com, because he said he took Elkington's spot. Was it at the Bob Hope or the Buick? Bob Hope. Correct?
Bob Hope. Yeah,
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Well, I'm going to call Elk today and say, hey, did Stankowski take your spot? Elk will remember. I mean, the guy remembers everything.
Hey, they all do, don't they? I mean, he was talking about the first putt he had in his first tournament. It was a back left pin location, about a 30-footer uphill. I'm like, really?
I can't remember.
1994?
Speaking of which, have we talked about the Ray Stevens Charity Golf Classic that I played in.
We talked
last
about
week?
Some, yeah, yeah.
Hey,
yeah
we talked about it on the air. Some. I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We did.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, forget it then. Yeah. We did talk about your buddy. I brought your name up, and Rudy Gatlin missed the putt, but that's beside the point. He said, "Who? Yeah. What? Where is that? Is he still alive?"
Yeah,
he was ragging you pretty good. Y'all obviously know each other very well, so
you guys didn't win though, huh?
No. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. The greens, we left everything above the hole. I mean, everything was above the hole all day. We could not make a putt, and those greens were so fast that it was just, I mean, we were scared to pull the putter head back. You'd let the shadow get the ball moving. I mean, literally.
Yeah, that's
tough. So, no, and we were 9 under, I'm not sure, forgot. But, no, we weren't close. I mean, we were 10 back from the winners. So.
Yeah, well, it was... I played in a tournament on Friday with Burton Gilliam and some other people.
Blazing Saddles.
For paraplegics, very, very good cause. And lo and behold, I think we finished pretty well. But the point was, everybody, it was one of these tournaments that, and I'm not
y'all won it.
Ripping on anybody's tournament, but everybody got like a mulligan on every hole. I'm going, well, okay, what are we going to be, 49 under? I mean, your math is
I don't
is
believe in mulligans for any tournament.
Getting lost on, I don't either, but don't always set the... Set the price, right? I mean, it's like
It's money. So, buy two mulligans
trying
for 20
to sell mulligans, and
sure.
There you go. Well, everybody's got one, and you know how it is. If you've got one on every hole, a lot of people kind of think that means they got two on every hole.
Are you saying that the tournament that you and Burton Gilliam just won, they were cheaters?
Somebody might have cheated.
And those of you out there, you know who you are. Yeah, same thing with the Ray Stevens thing. But our tournament was a Club Corp charity event. The Temple Hills Club in Franklin, Tennessee. And Ray does his cabaret show place here and does a big party, is a full band. I mean, it's a big, like, Las Vegas production the night before. And a lot of fun. But,
very nice. Yeah.
But our team didn't win. Rudy and I had a lot of fun, though.
That's okay.
telling jokes and...
Bottom line,
Rudy Gatlin hits about good, buddy. Oh, let me tell you,
yeah, he does.
He's a player.
Yeah,
he does. He's a player.
He plays all the time. I mean, he literally lives on the golf course. And the place where he's a member here in Dallas, with all the rain we've had, at one point, of course, now it's dried out a bit, but at one point, almost the entire golf course was underwater.
Really?
Just a few, a couple of tee boxes you could see here, or the fairway over here, part of that you could see. But there's a creek that goes right through it, which, of course, for a lot of golf courses.
That was a movie.
It is what... What?
A river runs through it?
Yeah. For a lot of golf courses, that's kind of a really neat feature, right? When you get this really pretty creek that kind of want until the rains come, and that creek turns into a monsoon, and it just takes over the golf course. So, yeah, Rudy was probably anxious to, because right when he was playing with you was about when his golf course had been underwater completely. And then it takes, another 2 weeks for it to dry out and silt, and you got to do all this stuff to get it cleaned. And,
by the way, I mentioned something. A river runs through it, a movie, right? Brad Pitt was in that
movie
and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'd never seen it. No, not Robert Redford.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, he directed it.
Oh, he directed it. Yeah, well, I'd never seen the movie. Yes. Okay, so a week or two ago, whatever, it's on Netflix or something. And Pam says, "Hey, let's watch that. I've never seen that." Or she said, "You've
never seen
that."
"River Runs Through It."
"I haven't." And I said, "What's it about?" And she said, "Oh, it's a fly fishing movie." She knew that's the only way I would sit and watch that movie.
Really?
Well, it does. What did you think? It was good. It was really a good movie. It was very touching.
Very good movie,
especially the way it ended.
Yeah.
It was just so touching. Yeah,
very
good
movie.
Good movie. Yeah. Brad Pitt's underrated as an actor.
Robert Redford, that movie is probably 20 years old now, probably. Yeah. And Robert Redford directed it. He also was the narrator throughout most of it.
Yes.
It was kind of an autobiography. And it was based on a book from a guy who grew up in Montana back in the 20s, pre-20s. Went to school at Dartmouth and basically told the story of his life and him and his brother, who was Brad Pitt. And his dad was a minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I loved him.
Tom Skerritt.
Really
Tom Skerritt's one of my favorite character actors. He's the father, really good.
Yeah, so
we need to go out to Riviera and play in that tournament so we can hang out with Tom and Robert and all those guys.
Yeah, all the good people.
Well, we could,
Yeah.
Expensive trip, but we could do that.
Got to get out there.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned Club Corp. Club Corp happens to be one of our big sponsors,
and we love our
people. We love the people at Club Corp. Tell people more about Club Corp. If somebody wants to know more about it or even become a member at one of their clubs, which they have a lot of them all over the country, what would they do?
Well, you can become a member for a day. Just call your local, go to clubcorp.com, find the local clubs. Got a great Club Finder on their website.
Yeah.
Go to find a club close to you or a club you want to go play. Call the membership director. The phone number's right there. Tell them you want to be a member for a day. They'll treat you to golf, lunch, the whole deal, and check out their facilities. And if you decide to join, which if you don't, you're silly, you become a member of their almost 300, I think, country clubs. And business clubs, which like the Pyramid Club in downtown Philly that Bill Lombard and I went to while we were up at Aronimink for the
Have dinner,
BMW.
Have lunch there.
Dinner,
yeah,
lunch. Yeah. Buckhead Club in Atlanta, which is one of my favorites. So they're club court properties everywhere. The golf courses are all, they keep their courses in great shape. And
yes, they
Temple
do.
Hills, by the way, Temple Hills Club is a club court property where we played the Ray Stevens Charity Golf Classic. Just if anybody from Club Corp in Dallas is listening, which I know they do listen to the show, slow those damn greens down. God, they were just...
It wasn't for that, you would have won.
Well, the thing of it is, if we knew where to put it. I mean, we knew to put it under the hole, but we couldn't do it. Anyway, enough about us. That's let's talk about this week. Shriners Hospitals for Children. Guess who?
Las
you know
Vegas.
The little fellow, the young man who is in the wheelchair that does their commercials that says we'll give you the money?
Yes.
Well, he was there for this tournament here in Ray Stevens tournament and the Shriners and all that. So we had got to meet him and spend some time talking to him. And what a great charity. Club Corp does a lot for charity. Every one of their clubs has a special tournament for charity, Tim. And, that's pretty special stuff. So.
Yep.
Very touching.
Be starting up this weekend coming up, Shriners Hospital for Children at TPC Summerlin.
New bunkers. All new bunkers. They redid all of them.
Cantlay is the defending champion. So, yeah, should be a really good field there. And another great tournament. And then right after that, you have the Mayakoba Golf Classic for those that want to go play there in Mexico in Playa del Carmen. Then followed that right up with one of your favorite tournaments, the RSM Classic at Sea Island, Georgia.
You betcha. Sea Island, Georgia.
Such great golf.
Heaven
such
on earth, buddy.
That's
a great place.
Yeah.
It's a great place. Sure some of the best barbecue in the world is on Sea Island. St. Simon's Island, I should say.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to
be good.
Probably going to make that tournament.
All right.
So, and there's some other stuff. Our good buddy Russ Holden, which everybody should check out, Caddy for a Cure. Caddy starting with a C, A-D-D-Y, for a Cure. Their Liberty Mutual is the sponsor, title sponsor of the tournament coming up. I don't know the exact date. You go look it up. On the next show, I'll give you the exact date. But just got invited to play in that tournament down in South Florida coming up in the next month, 30, 45 days. So that's a huge fundraiser for Caddy for a Cure. They do a lot of wounded veterans go out and caddy with a pro. So Russ Holden and his crew do a great job for that. We're probably going to go play in that and do a show from there. So
Very nice.
That'll
all right.
Fun stuff.
Well, that'll do it for today. We had a great show, great time. We do appreciate Paul Stankowski for joining us, and we'll keep up with Paul and find out exactly where he's at broadcast-wise as well as his golf career, getting it back on track. We're really happy for Paul. It's going to be really exciting. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews, and we appreciate each and every one of you for being with us. Please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.